Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the NORALO Monthly Teleconference on Monday, the 12th of May, 2014 at 1900 UTC. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Gordon Chillicothe, Ubelkis Montevallo, Glenn McKnight, Alan Skuse, Garth Bruin, Matthew Rantanen, Garth Graham, Judith Hellerson, Jolly McPhee, Eduardo Diaz, Loris Taylor, and Augie Matiz. We have no apologies for today's conference. From staff, we have Silvio Vivanco, Ariel Liang, Gisela Gruber, Natalie Peregrin, Heidi Ulrich, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you.
Thank you very much. This is Garth Bruin, NORALO Chair. Welcome you all to the call, and thank you for taking the time. Mr. Secretary, if you are prepared to read the action items, I turn it over to you.
Thank you so much. Glenn McKnight for the record. We have a few items today, 2.1, focused to Natalie. The ALS RALO database is to show the date of updating. Please advise on the status. Did you want to turn to that item? It's not determined. Garth?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything on that. Maybe staff has a response to that. I think what we want to see is that when the items are published in the wiki or they're published elsewhere, that we can see the date that the last change was made. This will give us some indication of how current the information is. That's what we're looking for.
So, Garth, this is Heidi. Just to clarify, you're looking for when the wiki page itself was updated?
No, when the database was updated, because it's the database that is going to have either the correct or incorrect information, and that's going to be the root of contact information. So that's where we want to see the date reflected.
Oh, so you want the exact date, or because normally we just use the month and the year. Is that okay, or did you want it to be the exact date?
No, I think the month and year is fine. I just figured that if it was recorded automatically in a database, that it would be, a base numeric date, but whatever method you use is fine.
Okay. Well, Natalie handles that, so I'm going to get back to her and just check with something, but I think we can definitely do that.
Yeah, just because, sometimes when we look at the information and we know it's wrong, and we wonder how old it is, and maybe somebody from an at-large structure knows that they submitted updated information. It just gives us a clue, and then once a year we can go through and we can actually refresh all the information if we know it's too old. So it's an important detail. Okay, go ahead, Glenn. Continue.
Okay, 2.2, again to staff, please advise on the process of releasing the London meeting PPT template.
Okay, this is Heidi, and that is our communications department. So perhaps Ariel, Ariel's been on the call. I think she is, but we'll take an action item for staff to follow up on the approximate date, a release date of that. It should be any time now.
Perfect.
Everyone's
thank you. 2.3, staff again, please verify if English, French, and Spanish NORALO brochures were shipped to the chair.
Yeah, this is Heidi again. I mean, I know that Susie did that quite a while ago, so I don't know if this is a new one. Garth, are you saying that you did not receive yours ever? Or
I didn't receive them. This was the request that occurred before Singapore, and in Singapore, Susie had said, we're taking care of that, so I don't know what happened.
Okay. And how many were you asking for?
I asked for 50 in English, 25 in French, 25 in English.
15 French you needed. You need. Okay. And so 25 English, 25 French, 50 French. Sorry.
No. 50 English,
yeah.
25 French, 25 Spanish.
Got it. Okay. I'll have Susie, I'll ask her to do that today. I know that she's really good at that, so I don't know what's happened. But
thanks.
Just to let you also, Joe noticed that Glenn was passing out NORALO brochures with old addresses. So what we're doing is we're updating them for the Atlas. So would you like us to ship the ones we have currently?
Are you saying it has the old ICANN Marina Del Rey address?
Correct, and the old Washington, D.C. address. And it doesn't have the hubs of Singapore and Istanbul.
Yeah.
That one was updated in 2011 last. So yeah. If you need something urgent, then we can get you, you know, what we have. But if you can wait a couple of weeks, then you can get the new ones.
I think if there's been a delay, I might as well wait until the new ones are printed.
Okay.
Heidi, it's Glenn. Those are the brochures that I got shipped to me for the both the N10 and the Aran. That's the new stuff that I got. So
no, Yeah, Glenn, you have the old ones. Again, the latest version that is up on the web right now of the Norello trifold was made in 2011.
Okay.
So we just noticed that. So we're updating all of the Railo brochures with new addresses. So, you know, as soon as we get the PDFs and the printed versions, we'll update the wikis and send those to Garth.
Okay. So if I can just add to that, so I will request some brochures as well. I'll need those for the IETF in July.
Okay. So what we can do is we'll bring a lot to London, and then you can just take them from there.
Thank you. That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. I'll proceed. 2.4, again, back to Natalie, to notify RALO leaders and ALAC members when the RALO ALS database is updated. Any comment? Okay, I'll move to 2.5.
Yeah.
Again, the staff, please advise on the status of including closed captioning for filmed ICANN sessions. Do we have any status update on that?
I'm sorry, Glenn, sorry. Which one is this? I was looking at something else about the database. Go ahead.
Sure, it's a 2.5. It's the advice on the status of including closed captioning for filming ICANN sessions. Do we have an update from communications on that?
I know that Olivier, this is Heidi, I know that Olivier's asked senior staff to make sure that there are enough cameras to get some good filming, and I think that they are going to go ahead with that. I mean, in terms of closed captioning, I think I need some more information on that.
This is Garth. In several of the big ticket ICANN sessions, there's usually a running textual account of the discussion on the board.
Okay.
I think that is a very useful resource, and if that could be, you know, somehow rolled into the archived feed or made live, that would be very useful.
Okay. Yeah, this is Heidi. I know that that does ring a bell now, and we did go back on that. And I know Deb put that into a request for. I think he put that into a request for the meeting strategy working group public comment. But scribing is quite expensive, so that's why only large meetings, those really big, you know, the board meetings and big public meetings, have that currently.
Yeah, this is Garth. I mean, what I'm saying is that if it's already being done in those meetings, can we make it available?
I can check.
Okay.
But again, it might be cost, you know, it's prohibitive in terms of cost.
It's being recorded somewhere, I would imagine.
Let me check into that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 2.6, ALAC, please advise on the status of the formal request to decertify Alberta Community Networks Association under the rule number 16 of the Norello Operation Principles. So back to you, Heidi.
Yeah, this is Heidi. There's an update there. That's been completed and sent to Garth.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you very much. Great. I'll make a note of that.
Okay, 2.7, the election, Alan Greenberg to check with the Norello procedures if the election can be held in July.
I know Alan is on the call, and I'm sure that he did check into it. He may have even sent out information about that, and we can talk about this later in the call.
Okay, perfect. And lastly, 2.8, the all, please note the April report. Back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Garth, and right at the top of the queue, we have the upcoming London meeting, and we have a number of details that I want to make sure that we get out of the way. As many of you know, I reached out earlier today to get some details from as many of you as possible about how your travel arrangements are going, and I have responses from a number of you. I see a few folks on the call who I don't have responses from yet, and I will just address them as I see your name. I see that Garth Graham is on the call, or at least on the Adobe chat. Garth, can you confirm whether or not you have your flight information? You can either speak on the call or you can do the text chat. He does. Okay, good. Michael M., I do not see Michael on the call. I'm going to skip him for now. Eduardo, I had a response from earlier. Evan, Garth, my travel is finalized. Okay, so Evan Leibovich, we have a yes. Thomas Lohenhaupt, if you are on the call and you can let us know. I do not see Thomas's name. We'll come back to him. Alan Skuse. If Alan Skuse is on the call, I see Alan is on the call, and I believe that he is typing, probably furiously. Heidi has a question. Okay. Jolly, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
So I just was going, you know, on the point about the recordings of the scribe and that business. I mean, normally I believe they are kind of recorded, which is there's two levels, which is the rough transcript of what goes out, and then there's a finished transcript which will take a few more days and take money. But I think you're right to like double check that the rough transcript, you know, sometimes it has to, someone leaves their browser open and we share it amongst ourselves rather than it actually appear on the site. But another question I have, which is a follow-up to that, is, you know, the Adobe Connect recordings, those links seem to me to be not published. I always have to, like, write in and ask them, what is the link to that, to the Adobe Connect, because you can just play back the whole Adobe Connect. So I'd ask that question as well. Will the link to the Adobe Connect recordings be available?
Okay. This is Garth. Thank you, Jolly. So the question about the Adobe is for staff.
Okay. So, Terry, either you can answer or I can do my best to answer. So, Terry, actually, let me try, and then if I'm wrong, please correct me, or Gisela. So, again, our audio, the landline's through Adigo, and those recordings are ready pretty quickly. So immediately after the call, Adigo sends it to the Secretariat. So those should be available. The Adobe Connect, we get transcripts. From the recording, we send it to Language Services, and we get a transcript. And normally during the normal non-ICANN meetings, we get a transcript for the most part within 48 hours, and that transcript then is posted. But during ICANN meetings, the sheer number of meetings going on delays the transcripts. So for ICANN meetings, the transcripts are not available to us for weeks and unfortunately sometimes months. So that's the delay in terms of the transcripts for ICANN meetings.
Yep.
So Gisela and Terry, maybe I left something out.
Well, I'd like to follow up and say that
the rough transcript,
which is what actually appears on the screen, the reason why that shouldn't be available immediately.
You're talking about the chat. So again, yeah, that should definitely be available.
I'm talking about the scribe transcript that appears as a running live, you know, which is what's known as the rough transcript. You know, that should be available, right?
I don't know, because the meetings that I work with are not scribed. So I don't know if the meetings that are scribed, if they're posted immediately. I have a feeling that they may be looked at just for, to make sure everything's correct. But again, Gisela, if you know more, you know, jump in.
What happens is that people just, if you have a browser open, you can save it and paste it into a text file, and then it can be saved, and that's what's been happening at the moment, where other people, you know, we kind of do it ourselves a lot of the time because ICANN doesn't. And then my other question, which is, you know, the actual Adobe Connect recording, which includes video, chat, the whole nine yards, you know, those are links that it seems like links are never published.
Okay. We'll take that on board. And Terry's listening, and I think Diesel is as well, so maybe they can follow up on this.
Yeah, this is Garth. I mean, just to kind of echo what Jolly was saying, sometimes when I go back and I try and find meeting transcripts and recordings, it's necessary it's necessary to drill down into the actual, you know, individual meeting page to be able to get the media. And I think it might be easy, and maybe this already exists, if there was a single sheet page that had all the meetings and all the media available listed next to it. You know, maybe like a table-driven thing that, you know, has either video, audio, transcript, PowerPoint, chat, et cetera, all linked in a table. And that's a recommendation.
So, Garth, are you talking, this is Heidi, are you talking about ICANN meetings, you know, at-large meetings, at ICANN public meetings, or the regular calls like these, you know?
I'm talking about both. I mean, I'm talking about regular ICANN meetings. Rather than having to go to the individual page, you know, after following an ICANN meeting, rather than having to go to the individual page for a session to find the available media, to have a single page that's a lot like the layout of the schedule, maybe, that has all the media listed for each session.
Okay. This is Heidi. I get it. I see what you're talking about. Okay.
Good.
Let me pass that on and see if that's possible.
All right. Already making a lot of work that wasn't on the agenda for today. I want to recognize Alan, who has had his hand up, and then Alan Skuse, who had his hand up first, and then Alan Greenberg, who had his hand up second. Alan Skuse, please. Alan, we can't hear you if you're talking.
Is that better?
Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, Alan Skuse for the transcript. I've got my flight finalized, and I just have a couple of papers to send back.
Okay.
My signature.
Thank you very much. Alan Greenberg, you're next in the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, just on the issues that were being raised, I tend to agree that things are awful hard. Things that are normal meetings, we go to the agenda and there's clear links for. For meetings that are held during ICANN meetings, they're often you have to go through several levels of indirection, and in some cases you can't get to them at all. So it would be useful if, at least after the fact, the links were made readily available for meetings that were held in person. Otherwise, meetings that are held in person end up being second-class meetings, so to speak, because you can't find the history. In terms of the scribe feed, they used to make that available. Nowadays, they seem to hold it to their chests and keep it until the final one comes out, which often is very, very delayed. I think Jolie is right that if you happen to be watching the scribe feed from the beginning, you can capture it. But ICANN isn't doing that. I really wish they would, because the delays are sometimes very, very long before the cleaned up one comes out. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Alan. This is Garth. And I think that for some people who might be using specialized devices, that text may actually be, you know, translatable into something useful, like through a spoken word device. I mean, that's a possibility, too. Okay. Alan, you still have your hand up. Jolly, you still have your hand up. Jolly, do you have another point, or is this the older topic? No? Okay. All the hands are clear. All right. Moving along. Augie gave me his confirmation. Well, I've still got Alan Greenberg's attention. Do you have your flight and other information?
Yeah, I've got everything.
Thank you very much. Gordon Chilcott is in the meeting. Gordon, do you have all of your required travel information?
Thanks, Garth. Gordon Chilcott here. Garth, I'm not the one that's going.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's Scott Sullivan, and I will be talking to him either tonight or tomorrow night, and one of us will get back to you.
Okay, have him CC me, you know, send me an email to him and CC me directly so I have his contact info.
Will do.
Thank you very much. Okay. I heard from some of the other folks on the list. Kerry Brown, I have not heard from. Is Kerry on the call?
Yeah, Kerry's okay. His travel's been set up.
Kerry's good. Okay. Louis Un?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I've been emailing again this week. I'm facing some problems. Email address was wrong, so I'm working on it.
Okay. Keep me informed, Louis. Darlene, if Darlene is on the call, if you have your information, I don't see her name in the list. Sarah, I sent an email to Judith. I have her information, and Hetz, I have their information too. Okay. All right, moving along. Does anybody else have anything that they wish to bring up that is travel-related? No? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, do we have that, staff, do we have the image of the banner, at least the proposed new banner?
Yes, this is Terry. Let me get it up for you.
Thank you.
And you should be seeing it.
Okay.
I think we have to reduce, this is Sylvia, to 25% to be able to see it.
Yeah. I am not able to see it. We need to reduce it.
Yeah, it's large.
You can do it.
I have reduced it. Can you see it? 25%.
You can do it yourself in another.
Smaller now.
Yeah, everyone has to do it themselves. Whoops.
I'll put it back up.
Yeah, I'm like Judith. All I saw was gold. I didn't see the image.
Yeah, so this is Heidi. If everyone clicks on 25, you'll see Norello pop right up.
Yep.
And, I'm not sure why that color is gold. It actually should be yellow, and I think it is more yellow when you look at it, I think.
It might be hard to see in the,
Can everyone scroll?
The official Norello yellow is kind of golden.
Yeah, so actually, yeah, so there, and if you're scrolling down, and is everyone able to scroll on their own, or are you seeing me scroll?
No, I'm
scrolling independently.
Okay. So for those who are not aware that the original At-Large logo was developed for the first At-Large Summit, and everybody will pick a color, and it's one of the sunbeams, and Norello picked yellow. So that is why you're yellow.
Okay.
And this is basically just a repeat of the one that was misplaced. You had one ready for the Toronto meeting, and the only thing that was added in my memory is the QR code.
Okay. All right. I want to give a quick checkbox to agree to this format, the wording. I approve of it as is. If anybody else has any issues with it, please put in a red X or, you know, put up your hand to speak about it. And once we've approved this, you know, staff can go ahead and order the new banner. I'm seeing a lot of check marks. I don't see any complaints. All right, I want to see Evan, please go ahead.
Hi, just it's Evan speaking. Just repeating a question I put in the chat.
Okay.
What URL does the QR code go to?
Good question.
This is Heidi. That was my question as well. And Sylvia and others let me know it goes to the portal, the Norello portal.
Correct, yes. If you try it, it will take you, Cecilia, to the wiki page, the main Norello wiki page, the portal.
Wait, this is Heidi again, which all of you who were on the training should know where the portal is.
So it's Norello.org, surely.
Yeah, the QR code works. I've tested it.
Me too. This is Eduardo.
Okay. Eduardo, you had your hand up.
Just to say the same thing that Glenn did, I just checked it out and it works okay.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. So
this is Heidi. Sorry, but I do see Jolie's question is a bit black at the bottom, and I don't know what that is.
There does seem,
Hello, mine,
there's a black, it's kind of like a black bar at the bottom.
Yes.
Cutting through the image. Yeah.
Yes, this is Sylvia. I know. It's just what they explain is the bleed that the printer, the manufacturer uses. So just disregard that. It's
okay.
Part of the layout, the design. It's not going to come out in the printed banner.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for noticing, Jolly. Okay. All right. So it appears as though the banner is approved. We'll go ahead and we'll move on. Thank you very much, staff, for putting the banner together. I know missing the exclamation point in the Spanish last time was a source of a lot of frustration, and it looks like we got it right this time. Okay. Any more further comments about the banner? No? Okay. All right, we'll move on. Into our agenda item number 4, review of communication and outreach strategy. We've been making great, great strides in this area, and we're going to continue doing so. And now that we have some more new members, we're going to be leaning on our new membership to continue to do outreach within their own communities, and we're looking forward to working with them as well. I did receive a communication from staff about the automation of the ALS application. I know we also want to do that for individual membership, too, and make sure that all these things work in a seamless way and are user-friendly. I mean, that's one of our biggest complaints from new members is that the application process is a bit daunting, and it's not Web 2.0, and we're even moving out of the Web 2.0 era, so we're going to have to step up the game a little bit. But I did receive that communication from staff, and I will get back to you all on that. Jumping down into CROP, is anybody from the CROP committee on the call? Okay.
Alan's on the line.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alan, I'm catching up on what happened with Constantine's application for the IETF meeting. So what was the snafu there?
That was number 5, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, the snafu is that it was after the date.
Okay. What was the date?
Yeah, the Constantine's request is for the IETF, which is in July. So what Alan is saying, it's after the cutoff date of latter part of June.
Got it. Understood. Okay. And do we have a confirmation that this program is going to continue? I guess this is more of a question from staff, unless Alan knows that as well.
Nobody has sent me anything. Staff said they were going to find out and let us know.
So, Garth, are you asking whether the overall CROP program is going ahead?
Exactly, yes.
This is Heidi. Yes, my understanding is that it is being, but it's going to be a pilot for a second year. And
okay.
I think that was published when Finance published their financial information. I think it was last week. One of the files that was listed was the list of ACSO requests.
Okay.
And I think that was in there, I believe.
Okay. So, all right, then based on that, I would presume that we're out of the running for any additional meetings, even if they occur before that July cutoff, because I see that there are at least two meetings that Evan recommended, Internet of Things, June 17th through the 18th, and ACM MobiSys, June 16th through the 19th. Do we still have a window of opportunity for those?
Alan Skews here for the record.
Yes, please.
I believe that if it's possible, it would be very, very, very tight. It would have to be expressed through.
Okay. All right. Well, if there is interest there, please step forward. So Glenn has a question. So is Constantine's proposal valid for July with the new fiscal period? Excellent question. But if the fiscal period hasn't been announced yet to the crop committee, I don't see how that would even work. Travel requests must be submitted 8 weeks before any such travel has to be taken place. Okay. All right. Well, I suppose that's why this is a pilot project. I suppose it would be difficult for Constantine to apply for an out of scope travel time when the new fiscal year program hasn't been approved yet. Am I wrong?
This is Heidi. Let me find out.
Okay. All right.
From the people who are supporting that.
Okay. Because it's
Alan.
Please.
I'm sure I was on a call a while ago, and Heidi might or maybe someone else will remember, where they said, yes, they understand the problem, and they were making provisions to allow people to apply for meetings in the first few months of the fiscal year.
Okay. All right.
I thought I heard that, but I may have just hoped I heard it.
If that's the case, and if there's some way we can keep Constantine's application hot, and not necessarily, I mean, obviously for obvious reasons, it was rejected for this year because it didn't happen within this year. But if it's happening within next year and next year is approved, maybe there's some way we can keep it on the books so it can go through when the time is ready.
Yeah, but Garth, 8 weeks is just about now.
Well,
so
that's the thing.
Something would have to happen pretty soon.
But that's the thing, his application is already in, but he applied for it under, you know, the previous fiscal year, which is coming to an end. And we want to put it on.
Processing would have to start real soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have all the information. I mean, Constantine already did the work. So hopefully we can make it so his work doesn't go to waste. Okay. All right. Moving on, just so everybody's aware, we continue our work on outreach. We have an outreach queue. Submit recommendations to Murray, and we will process them, and we will do the outreach, and we will keep talking. I asked earlier if Tom was on the call. Tom is not on the call, so I won't talk about his project in real detail. And so without further ado, if Jolly is ready to do this month's spotlight, we'd love to hear about your work. Jolly, are you there?
I'm muting. Yes, I'm here.
Please go ahead.
I'm posting a link in the chat, which is a thing that I wrote in 2011 when we ran a big INET here in New York, which gave a sort of history of the chapter back to the start, which you can, you know, peruse at your leisure. Essentially, ITOC NY was formed in 97 by some sort of local academics and local IFP, and the idea of it being something of a professional organization in the way that those professional organizations go. And that lasted, and they put it through and got the 501c3 nonprofit status. A couple of years later, the original crew had kind of gone away, and it was taken over more by sort of community organizer type people. And, you know, on sort of on the left wing, but they did a good job. There was, you know, sort of the grassroots, there was working with grassroots stuff, hooking up schools and this kind of stuff in the local area. And then it kind of sort of fell a little bit fallow until sort of David Solomonoff came along and sort of reinvigorated it, who's still currently our president. David has worked as a network admin in medical school And his concern has always been more with the sort of free software, the freedom aspect of things, and also with the sort of cutting edge of things like virtual worlds and this kind of activity. And we've brought in other people of good. We have a very strong board. Evan Court, who's my fellow vice president, is a professor at NYU and is an organizer of HackNY, and is also on the board of the New York Tech Meetup, which is the biggest tech meetup in the country, so we have a good relationship with them. Jonathan Askin, who is you'll be meeting at Atlas, is a professor at Brooklyn Law School. He runs a thing called the Brooklyn Law, whatever it is, Clinic, which is a thing where the students at the Brooklyn Law School offer free legal advice for sort of startups and so on in the city. As you know, I do a lot of webcasting. As far as our relationship with ICANN goes, one of our members, Danny Younger, basically joined ISOC so that he could be in the NCUC, and he represented us in the NCUC through the early part of the 2000s. When At Large emerged, we were invited by ISOC Quebec, Luc Flaubert, to join At Large, and there was a lot of controversy over whether we could be both an NCU and At Large, which was eventually resolved. There was no conflict there. And so Danny sort of stepped down somewhat, which is a shame because nobody was second to Danny about scrutinizing the small minutiae of what goes on at ICANN. But later on, we've had Avery Doria has joined us, and so she's, our resident expert on these things, sort of by default, because I'm the admin person. I represent us in both the NCUC and the At Large. Generally, as a chapter, we're not that active in terms of putting on events and everything, but we're very active indeed with other groups in New York that are doing stuff and providing a sort of, a way of those people to hook up with each other. We put people in touch with each other and that kind of thing. And basically, that's what I've got to say. I'll take any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Jolly about ISOC New York? No? Okay. Thank you very much, Jolly. It was great. And it's good to get an idea of what everybody's working on and where everybody comes from. These are all really, really important things, and we should all know a little bit more about each other and know a little bit more about each other's work. And moving forward with that, we have a whole bunch of new ALSs to welcome. And the first one I'd like to welcome, and we actually have a couple of the representatives on the call today, Native Public Media. We have Loris Taylor and Matthew Rantanen, I believe, if I pronounced it wrong. Loris, are you able to speak on the call just to introduce yourself? If you're not actually on the voice call, that's fine. If Matthew is on the voice call, you can comment too, just to introduce yourself. I'm not able to speak on the call. That is perfectly okay.
This is Matt Rantanen.
Matthew, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you for having us and letting us join your group. This is a wonderful occasion for tribal, Native America to be a part of this.
So your group has you have influence in a number of areas, not just the web. Maybe you can just fill everybody in a little bit.
Well, Loris and I, are pretty involved with a lot of things going on in Indian country and in the United States. And Native Public Media deals with media and, like radio, terrestrial radio stations, internet radio stations. We even are working in conjunction with the Native American Journalists Association on the print side of things. Our annual conference is coming up for that. We We work on policy at the FCC, at, you know, the different departments within the government to try to, you know, break down some of those obstacles and barriers that exist for the tribal communities. Both Floris and I also sit as the tech and telecom co-chairs for the National Congress of American Indians, and I actually sit on the Native Nations Broadband Task Force at the Federal Communications Commission. So we have, you know, we're spread out a bit within the things that are happening in Indian country. So we have access and knowledge on a lot of different areas. So hopefully we can contribute some of that to your group.
Oh, that would be wonderful. This is Garth. I think that's great news, and I love to hear about this kind of work. I've been especially curious about internet radio, and you know, not even as a cultural issue that's specific to any group, but internet radio is a phenomenon that has impacted a lot of people and the way that they get information, and it's an amazing thing. And hopefully we can get a presentation out of you folks at some point so we can all learn more about what you do and that we can meet in person. Thank you so much for joining the call.
Absolutely, yeah. So internet radio is a great new phenomenon that's happening. It's opening up a lot of doors, but one of the problems that we have with internet radio is it requires broadband communications to be able to deploy. So that's our primary goal in a lot of Indian country, is to get broadband to folks. We currently are right around 10% that have access to broadband. So we're working very hard at the national level to try to solve that issue, and so that we can get those kind of services to everybody. But yeah, we'll definitely give a report at some time and a presentation. That'd be great.
Yeah, this is Garth, and I've I've been aware of that problem of broadband, especially within within the Indian or Native areas, and I've been reaching out when I can to specific tribes, and I've only had marginal success. And hopefully I can lean on you guys a little bit to do some more outreach. That would be really good too.
Yeah, by all means.
Okay, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. So we also want to welcome Open Media Canada. I don't believe there's anybody from Open Media on the call. If there is, please speak up. I also want to welcome the ISOC Disabilities and Special Needs Chapter. They actually told me that they couldn't make it today on the call, but this is another great addition to our arsenal that is focusing on the needs of the disabled on the Internet. In addition to that, we've also had join our ranks the Visually Impaired and Blind User Group, also known as VIBUG, and this, yet again, is a great inroad for us into the disabled community's use of the Internet. And it's unfortunately, this has been a completely missed population. Some folks who have come up with extremely innovative ways to access the Internet and have come to really rely on it as an important resource. We want to make sure that they get the resources they need, and we want to make sure that their work gets the attention and gratitude that it needs. Jolly, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Jolly.
I just briefly want to say about the ISOC disabled group, the chapter, that they need people, and so we should actively try and recruit people into that chapter.
Okay, that's a good point. I will keep that in mind. Thank you so much. But you know what? And our work is not done. There are still many, many more groups out there that are looking to join, and many people who just need to be contacted. You know, some groups I've spoken to, they needed a little convincing. They needed a little bit of convincing to so they could understand how their work could be influential in Internet policy. And I actually had to show them, actually had to demonstrate some of the power of what AtLarge does. For other groups, as soon as they heard about it and as soon as I reached out to them, they were ready to join. And actually, Native Public Media was one of those groups. And so that shows you the power of our outreach efforts. Okay. Moving on. And going to skip down right to our committee and working group activities. And if Louis Uhl is still on the call, do we have a NOMCOM report? This is the nominating committee. This is the group, the body that recommends candidates for the board and other critical positions within ICANN. And we have representation on the non-com from At Large. This is a very, very important piece of what we do at large. And Louis is our representative from North America. So, Louis, can you give us a rundown of what's going on? You might need to speak up a little bit, Louis.
Yep. You hear me?
Very faintly.
Can you hear me?
Not. It's very light. It's very faint, Louis.
Well, listen, I can take the phone and I will. I'm live now.
Okay, just go ahead and talk then.
Well, anyway, introducing you, Port Cards and Smart. We've been going to weekly sessions, weekly April, and minutes of our meeting can't be shared, actually, so we will have to work on report cards, but we cannot produce report cards on pages. We have to be able to follow the page there. So we will be summarizing the information in 2 weeks. So you still hear me?
It's difficult, but just wrap up as quickly as you can. Maybe we can get more information later.
Yeah, so a report card will be coming soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Welcome. Sorry for the audio.
Okay. I believe that the ATRT2 report has already been published. The comment period, I believe, is the comment period still open for the ATRT?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So we can remove that item. What is the future work, if any, of that?
We're in a period where the board is supposed to respond, and they, in theory, will be responding in London, saying what they're going to do and what they're not going to do and why.
Okay. Good. Okay, Evan, any reports from the Future Challenges Working Group?
Not at this point. Essentially, we'll be looking for some new membership come the summit in London and trying to come up with some new agendas. Amongst the other, some of the things that has been taking the time of folks like Alan and myself have been, there was a public comment period on the public interest commitments program. That actually is still ongoing. So there was an initiative that was approved by the ALAC and taken out for public comment that mentioned about the public interest commitment program on the new GTLD program, that we found it to be extremely lacking, and that we were calling for some action on it, including one proposed alternative called public action councils.
Policy advisory
boards. Policy advisory boards. My acronym meter is malfunctioning. And so that is actually still out for public comment. The reply period ends the 21st of the month after an extension was granted. And so essentially this is something that formed a very interesting conversation going on during the Singapore meeting. During the board interaction with ALAC, we were told that they believed that the issue was gone and buried and that the GAC was happy with it. And then the GAC communique at the end of the week indicated that it very much was still an open issue. So this continues to be a topic. There's a number of us continue to believe that the public commitment component of the current TALD program is heavily flawed, and so we continue to work towards it. While that is not directly related to future challenges, it is something that is a little bit off the grid and hasn't really been on the radar of any of the conventional working groups. So that was my opportunity to talk about it, Garth.
Thank you. Glenn, do you you have your hand up. Go ahead.
No, it was just earlier Jolly's comment about ISOC reaching out. I had a long conversation with Walda. She really wants to reach out to create an ISOC North America Native group. So it's great to see Anthony on the line and Matthew as well. So this is great. So we can help follow up on that.
Fantastic. Outreach and inreach. Okay. Other than the crop discussion we had earlier, are there any other reports from crop?
It's Glenn again. I've posted my report already, and I was at the Aaron session. Very interesting session, but I've put into the link to the pictures at the event.
Thank you very much. And just to remind, Avery has posted in the chat a link to the Enhancing Accountability public comments. Thank you. The At-Large Finance and Budget Subcommittee, is anybody from that group wishing? Okay, before I move on, Alan, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, just quickly on the crop reports. They're, as far as I know, they're all up to date except for that one for next year. And it turns out they've been really well received. I'm on the At-Large Finance and Budget Committee, and we're just preparing to have a number of sessions in which we go over what's already been there. There is an open comment thing on the budget for 14-15, and I believe that's open until the end of June.
Okay. Perhaps can you put that link in the chat, or if staff could put that link up to the comment period that Alan is talking about?
Sure.
Much appreciated. All right. Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues Working Group. Is anybody from that working group on the call? No? Okay. I believe that is the Board Member Selection Process Committee, is that work complete? For the time being, I believe that it is. The at-large ad hoc accessibility working group, that's no longer an ad hoc group. That is a real, fully functioning group, and we're going to be building an agenda for that for London. Looking forward to that. Moving on to ALAC, at-large advisory committee work, and I believe that Olivier has just joined the call. Olivier, if you're on the call, do you wish to comment about ALAC matters?
And I have to unmute, of course, before speaking. Thank you very much, Garth. It's Olivier Capanablon speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I can. Okay, thank you. So there's just so much going on at the moment. We really are focusing as much as we can on Atlas 2, because that's the big thing that's coming up in front of us. Apart from this, as you know, there's the public comments. There's still quite a few coming through. I invite you to come to the call later on this week that we'll be dealing with something else that will open up, and that's the cycle to look at ICANN accountability and the globalization of ICANN, and these two things are closely linked together. I don't know whether you've dealt with this already on the call, but it's an important process that's starting up. The other really important process is, of course, the transfer of stewardship from the U.S. government of the IANA function. That's something which is of great importance, as you all know. I had a call earlier today with the other SO and AC chairs. It's a monthly call that we have, and these are the two issues that we touched on. There's a cross-community working group on the IANA function, effectively, that will very soon come alive. The GNSO has announced it in their comments to the public comment period that was opened on the matter. And we'll, of course, have some representatives that will be there. I touched on that during the last ALAC call. We're going to have to have a committee of some sort that will place people in a steering group that is board and staff. Led, and then there's this cross-community working group as well. These are all ongoing matters. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Moving on to Evan. Evan, do you have any ALAC issues?
I would like to be able to talk about the at-large participation or the at-large people that participated in the Net Mundial meeting in Brazil, not only in the working groups that led up to a joint statement on it, but also to the individual participation. But that would really take us into a much longer meeting than you probably planned.
Well, Evan, I actually have under the same agenda recently held meetings 7.2.1 for the Net Mundial, and I was hoping to get a comment from somebody about it.
Well, I think between Avery and I, we can scramble together something.
Yeah. What can you give us as far as impressions go?
Do you want to wait till that point in the meeting, or do you want now?
That is this point in the meeting, so go for it.
Okay. Avery, I'm sure you can add your own piece. I was extremely happy with it. I actually think the Net Mundial meeting is something of a milestone in that it is it demonstrated a version of governments being able to work together with business and civil society, and not with each side hollering at each other, but with different podiums, a very fast-paced session where you had a very, very difficult set of competing interests that were that we're working on this, and yet despite it all, we were able to come up with a statement that was fairly inclusive, that did a little bit of watering down of public interest language, but it's still there, and essentially has the endorsement of a number of different parties, and really helps set the stage, I think, for a better outcome on some of the meetings that are going to happen later this year, such as the plenipotentiary from ITU. We're talking real high-level stuff here, but this is a very, very important document. It addresses surveillance, it addresses obligations, and it commits to openness. Is the language 100% exactly as I would have liked it? No, but then again, I don't think any party got what they wanted. The only people that spoke that were very, very much against this process, I believe, were Cuba, the governments of Cuba, India, Russia, Iran. Those were the loudest speakers against it. When you found the governments of Brazil and the U.S. on the same side, they're both wary of each other on surveillance and other issues, but they were able to find common ground in the wording of the final statement. Again, I was very happy to see the way it turned out, and I was happy to be a part of it. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Just one, maybe tough question. How does the ordinary internet user benefit from any of this?
I don't know if I can give you a solid answer. The problem is this about 10 steps removed from day-to-day use. This is essentially a document that will guide processes that will inform policy done at the national government level and hopefully even at the intergovernmental treaty level. So this is possibly talking at the level like the Kyoto Climate Accord or various, international treaties on how you treat commerce and things like that. So it's very high level, and it's going to take some time before the effects of this are really felt on the ground, but this had to start somewhere. Especially post-Snowden, you had a lot of governments that were very wary of each other, and you had governments that were wary of civil society and business interests. Meanwhile, you have people in ICANN that are saying, we need a multi-stakeholder model. This can't be decisions made by government alone. And I think that was the big decision, the big accomplishment of Net Mundial in showing that you could have a process that brought various parties to the table in a way that was productive.
Okay. Avery, any of your thoughts, if you care? Avery,
yeah, but Alan had his hand up before me.
Okay. All right, Alan, and then Avery, please.
I don't really care who goes first, but just a couple of very short comments. I support pretty much everything that Evan said. Garth, I think you asked the wrong question of how will this help individual Internet users. I think the real issue is it may be one of the things which will help diffuse changes in the future which could have hurt individual users a lot. And that is essentially taken
you know, put the internet into government hands, which would have changed its very nature. There's no guarantees that still can't happen, but this is one part of the process which is moving away from that direction. And I think the thing that Evan didn't mention is it essentially, again, although it's a document with no standing, it reversed some of the outcomes of WSIS that you know, claimed everything had to be done on a multilateral country-to-country basis. And that's a really important outcome, that it was agreed to by most of the national governments that participated in that process. Thank you.
Yep. No, thank you, Alan. I mean, I was just trying to ask the question from the perspective of an internet user and not necessarily as somebody who is boiling in this stuff constantly. But I think you did answer the question in that what it does is it balances the power between government and multi-stakeholderism and doesn't completely hand it over to government. So I think that's probably a good answer to my question. So Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, definitely want to back up what's said and probably go into one thing, actually two things. One is the critical part of this is that we are able to achieve an outcome document. People have been saying since Tunis, and by the way, the Tunis and WSIS documents have no standing either. It's just that heads of state agreed to them, but they have no binding effect either. They're just, you know, a uni-stakeholder declaration as opposed to multi-stakeholder declaration. But anyway, it was really the first time that we were able to show that multi-stakeholder groups could come to an outcome document, because this had always been thought of as completely impossible. So it really opens up the avenue for things we can do using various flavors of the multi-stakeholder model. Now, in terms of how it's going to affect, you know, the other, for example, with Eurodig coming up soon, Eurodig is looking at trying to emulate it and see what it can learn and from others. The IGF, which is going to be meeting in Paris in its pre-meeting in 2 weeks, is still struggling over the notion of how do they learn from it. I think Evan is incredibly optimistic if he thinks that the plenipotentiary will even hear the echoes of it, unless we see strong action in Eurodig, in IGF, and in some of the intermediate things in Geneva. I think in terms of the users, you're close. I think the fact that it was a multi-stakeholder, that there were representatives of user groups in the various rooms, in the discussions, able to communicate and contribute initially with their own statements, it was open, and so there were groups that were user representative, just as there were groups that were industry representative. So I think that one of the immediate effects to the users is this is a place where their organizations, their stakeholders could actually come and participate in producing a consensus, rough consensus, albeit, but a rough consensus outcome document. And that, to me, is a big achievement. So thanks.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. Great input. Eduardo, you have your hand up, por favor.
Gracias, guys. I just want to mention that I put a link in the Adobe of a very good article written by Wolfgang that goes through all this history all the way into NEM Mundial. I recommend everybody to read it. It's fast. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
To Eduardo. All right, back to Evan.
Thanks, and my last word, just a quick answer to Avery saying that I'm optimistic if I think it's going to affect anything to do with the Talanipot. I'm not sure that it's going to have a major effect, but it will offer some ammo to those governments and to those parties that want to push back on some of the more draconian things to be presented. And in terms, Garth, something that I'd remembered of what you asked about what are the implications for end users, there was one representation that was made at NEM Mundial to ask for to ask that the conference represent the interests or do something to represent the interests of end users who were not even aware of the meeting, let alone able to attend or understanding what was going on. That was made by me, And if I want to be very gratuitous about it, I think I actually may have affected two words in the final document, where the words and users was actually added to a clause that was not in the original. Can I take credit for that? I have no idea, but it was there and it wasn't there at the beginning. So, you know, two words may not mean much, but you take what you can get.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now, as far as other ALAC issues go, Evan, do you have anything else you want to bring up?
No, the biggies were NetMundial. One thing in the aftermath of ATRT, there's another cross-constituency working group that's about to be formed about the IANA transfer, the IANA handover. I think there'll probably be more information coming from ICANN staff on this, if it hasn't already gone out. But there's going to be a cross-constituency group that's going to tackle that issue, and I believe, and this gives you an idea where things are going, there, I believe, is a cross-constituency working group to deal with the makeup of cross-constituency working groups.
Okay. the redundancy department, sure. Aubrey, you still have your hand up. Do you have any other comment? No? Okay. Eduardo, do you have any other ALAC issues you wish to discuss?
No, I think this is Eduardo for the record. I think Olivier covered most of it. Thank you.
Alan Greenberg, do you have any other ALAC issues you wish to discuss?
Nothing that comes to mind at the moment.
Okay. The other issues that we have on the agenda deal with compliance. I know that there has been some activity in this area, and I have not had a chance to read it. I apologize. And I'm actually the initiator of a lot of it, so it's a failure of my responsibility to go back and keep track of all these things. Just in general, in terms of travel, for anybody who's having any kind of problem out there, please keep me in the loop, and we'll see if we can get it fixed together. And if anybody has any other issues, please bring them to my attention or put them on the mailing list. Thank you very much for your time, and I will talk to you later. Have a good day.
Muchas gracias. Bye.
Bye.
Bye
all.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you. The meeting has now been adjourned. Please disconnect all remaining audio lines at this time, and thank you very much for joining today's conference.